KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Oxnard, and the good news is, well, there's a couple of different things. First of all, Greystone Roofing is tremendous. And the good news is we haven't had to tell you just quite yet that the injury report is brought to you by Greystone Roofing.
That was nice yesterday to get out of that thing. Like, it looked completely healthy. That was
absolutely
real nice.
Absolutely. But just know, Greystone Roofing, they've got you covered when the hits keep coming. Now, we've got DeMarvion Overshown coming up in just a couple of minutes, but we also had the opportunity to go to a baseball game yesterday while the Rangers were rocking and rolling all over the A's and piling up another victory. We got to see this. If you can give me cut number six, this might make it sound like the Dodgers are going to win, but they're not.
Paez got a hanger, lifted it to left. Back goes Bader. This game's tied.
So that home run in particular, Alec, you're a fan of trolling people, yes?
That's right.
Okay. So I was sitting.
That's right.
I knew that would be a yes. I was sitting next to Ruben and just to mess with him, because Ruben is definitely a Dodgers fan. I kept going,
dude, he had an Ohtani jersey on.
Yes, he did. I kept going, man, this Pages is a heck of a player. And he goes, Paez. And I was like,
point guard for the Wings.
Yeah. No, that's
AEW world champ?
No, it's not Adam Paez.
She was a golfer at one point, and then Chiafalo almost got divorced.
Paige Spiranak, yes. Not any of those people. Don't make that noise. Eric's wife might still get mad about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or maybe she's pissed about their interview with Rowdy yesterday. We all are. So I was just trolling Ruben, and the Dodgers are losing 3-0. I believe at this time it was 3-0 in the game. And then Paez comes up, and I was like, I'll tell you what. If he hits a home run right here, I'll say his name right. And, like, I would say his name right on the air. I was just messing with Ruben. And then, bam, hits that home run, ties the game. Dodger Stadium goes freaking bananas.
I was walking up the tunnel as that happened because I had to step away for a second.
Right.
And I was walking back up the tunnel, and that place was electric, dude. It was awesome. I'm using that word a lot lately, too.
That's a good word. And so people went crazy. And so, of course, I admitted to Ruben that it was, in fact, Paez. He took a great deal of pleasure in that. We got the Teoscar Hernandez bobblehead. And, Corey, what stood out the most to you about that?
It's infuriating. It was Teoscar Hernandez bobblehead night. Teoscar Hernandez was not in the lineup. Nor did he make an appearance in the lineup at all, like even to pinch hit, even though they were down. He did make an appearance on the field before the game, and it looked like he had his kids with him, and
they were
having fun. But it's his bobblehead night, and he doesn't even swing the bat one time. They had ads. I've seen ads on TV for this night specifically, and I was like, okay, this is going to be fun. And he's a great hitter too. You know, like, that's another thing is we missed out on that hitter, but he wasn't there for his own bobblehead night last night, and that just seemed pretty ridiculous. So that was the part that kind of got to me.
What's more ridiculous, that or getting into Dodger Stadium?
Getting into Dodger Stadium wasn't easy. The drive there, well, I will say though, man, like, as much chaos as it was, we moved quickly. Does that not feel like that place was a circus?
Yeah.
The people, there were security guards that would step in front of us and say, all right, we got to let this car turn completely left and make a U-turn to get out of going in. And then, another car coming through. And then we're like, hey, where do we even go? And everybody's like, we don't know. Just keep walking. Just keep driving. Getting out of there was pretty quick, though. It is, from what I understand, one way in, one way out kind of place. And so that was the thing that I was very surprised we were able to move as quickly as we did.
And that stadium is massive. Like, this is the first time I've ever been there. This is the first time I think we've all of us, because Carter and Ruben, we all rocked out there together. This is the first time we'd all been there. And, like, I remember the first time I went to Fenway, I was astonished by how small that ballpark is. This ballpark is freaking massive, dude.
And from I told Carter our seats, I loved where we sat because we thought about sitting in the outfield.
Yeah.
And if we would have done that, we wouldn't have had as cool of a view, I don't think, because we would have been looking at home plate, which is cool. But the view out in the outfield with the mountains and the trees and everything behind it, beautiful setting. Yeah. Then you get out, you walk out to the car, And then there's downtown LA right there, and the lights of the city are. It's a really cool environment. I've always said this. I liked going to Colorado because whenever you get out of the game, you walk right into the city. I like Fenway. You get out of the game, you walk right into the city. Those kinds of places. And in Arlington, you get out, and there's some stuff now around. But for the longest time, you got done, and you were like, all right, time to drive home.
Yeah.
This environment kind of sets up for something like that. No wonder the Dodgers have so much lore around them for what they've accomplished.
Man, that fan base is passionate. They are.
Yes, they are.
They're in on the baseball things that you would hope they're in on. Now, we talked about it. We are in Oxnard. Technically, this interview didn't take place in the tent, but you know what? I still think that DeMarvion Overshown was essentially in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat. WildForkFoods.com, elite game day grilling favorites. Probably won't do it again that well the entire week. But there's a couple things to know before we jump into this. I caught up with DeMarvion Overshown after practice yesterday, and you'll notice a couple things I asked him about. One of them is having an interview with somebody who doesn't know your name.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ticket was out here, and they walked up to somebody right in front of me and goes, "What's your name?" And I was like, man, that's a good way to start an interview.
I like it, yeah.
And then we are going to have Oso Digizua probably on the show tomorrow, and they were trying to do wacky line reads with him, and it was amazing. This is the magic of radio. But he kept saying no. No.
We should ask him about wacky reading.
Yeah. I'd be like, what did you think about all those wacky line reads that you declined? Because I actually thought that was really hilarious to see it get shut down again and again. And then also know that about halfway through this interview, all these other media people showed up and they tried to get involved in our conversation. I was like, you can wait your turn. So take it away, DeMarvion Overshown.
We're here with DeMarvion Overshown right here on 105.3 The Fan. Is anybody in practice today more excited than you for all of the plays that were getting made?
Look, I don't think so. Look, I feel like one of my jobs is to bring the energy and keep the energy up. And whether I'm on the field or off the field, you're going to feel my presence. So, look, I feel like I'm the most energized guy on this team, and it's my job to be infectious and make sure everybody feel that way.
I don't think this will be the case, especially this early, but do you ever get a veteran who's like, tone it down just a little bit?
Not at all. Look, I feel like going into year three, I done played my fair share of games. I'm respected by my teammates, which is, you know, the biggest honor you can have.
Right.
So when they see me that happy, I feel like you got guys in here year 9, year 10, that get that same juice.
Any particular honor that you feel when the media is like, hey, already number 8 off the ball linebacker, not just the media, but coaches, scouts, they all got voted on. How do you feel about that?
You know, it feel good, but, you know, like the great Kobe said, the job's not finished.
Right.
Know, 12 games, I'm proud of that. You know, it's an honor to be voted amongst the top of the best of the best in
right,
the world.
Right.
So, knowing what I put out on the field, that's just the beginning. I feel like it's gonna only climb from here.
You said, I know you probably don't want to get into specifics. You said the doctors gave you some good news. What's your confidence level, whether it's week 8, whatever, of being out there this season?
My confidence level is 110, 120%. You know, I've been working with Brett for 2 years now. The whole training staff, Hanson, Handman, you know, my guy Andy, all those guys, they do their job really well and make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. And all I do is take on those challenges and,
right,
you know, I go on to the next thing. So when I get on the field, I'm more than confident. No, I'm going to be all right.
What have you learned, or what do you see the game differently when you're watching, as opposed to you're like, I'm not the next rep or whatever? How different is it for you when you're just watching?
You know, it's easy to coach up things and see people, like, you know, simple mistakes that,
right,
I made as a rookie or my second year. So being able to see them make that same mistake and be able to coach from the sideline, it helps me out. So when I get back out there, I'm not playing too fast. I didn't slow down. So just being able to slow the game down, just watching.
For all the people who weren't out here today, how excited were you for Marshawn Nealon when he took it to the house?
Look, I was excited. You know, they always talk about that little birdie. You hear a little birdie telling you something, and I felt like I was that little birdie on that play.
Right.
Not to take credit on his interception, but I told him to stay right there, which is, that's his job. He was doing his job, but I already knew knew the ball was coming, and he was kind of turnt. But, you know, just seeing a guy like Marshawn battling, you know, injuries last year, but, you know, when he was out on the field, you know, he was making plays, real big plays. So seeing him have a play like that, it only makes me smile because I know how hard he worked. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he's going to do his sophomore year.
And you had the opportunity to get out of here, but then I started asking questions. Now there's media people everywhere. Are you frustrated with me about that?
Oh, not at all.
Okay, good.
Not at all. It's probably some kids over there that's like, man, he said he was going to sign my stuff. But, you know, I'm still going to, you know, get to talk to them, sign stuff, and get to talk to y'all. Look, I'm out here. It's not too much I can do on the field. So off the field, you know, I'm 10 toes for everything.
Can you describe to people what you were doing offside? I know you said talked about working with Britt and everything. What are you doing out there and working?
Just a lot of resistant band stuff, you know, working on my power and stuff for when I do come back. I'm going to feel so much powerful after that. But just small things, shuffling, backpedaling, just easing it back to it. Today was actually my first day in cleats, and, you know, I feel great. So that's another check mark I get to cross out. So just doing small things like that. But knowing Britt, you know, it all matters. I tell people all the time, you know, you look over there, it might not seem much, but as we seen when I get back on the field, like, it's a lot. So
last question I was curious about, somebody from another radio station walked up to a player and said, "What is your name?" Do you think you would interview with somebody who walked up and said, "What is your name?"
What is my name? Now, that is a little disrespectful.
Yes!
Especially when, like, our last name is already on the back of the jersey. So it can't be that hard to figure it out. But, I mean, if you're interviewing somebody and you don't know their name, it's like you're fishing for content and not really, you know, feeling me. Like, you're supposed to come up and talk to me like you know me, you know, and interview me. But you don't even know me, so now you're just asking general questions that you can really go ask anybody because you don't know me.
Well, I appreciate you giving us the answer. Thanks very much, sir.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. DeMarvion Overshown right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Y'all are best friends.
I'm telling you, it's probably because I didn't bring up the A&M stuff.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm telling you, if you wanted a couple of good signs, first of all, from a more specific on-the-field standpoint, when he was like, no, I got great news from my doctor, and he feels like he's 110% going to play this season. That is something I have been very skeptical about. And then the other thing is, I hope that conveyed it. He was so excited for, like, everything positive that happened defensively yesterday.
Yeah, I like the guy a lot, man. I'm really pulling for him.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus a Looney Tunes style accident in real life. You're going to hear about it next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Oxnard for Dallas Cowboys training camp. Alec, if you don't mind, really quick Pete Crow Armstrong story for you. You are familiar with, man, the Cubs outfielder. He's been having a heck of a season. Before spring training started, he had kind of the blonde buzz cut with the blue stars in his hair. So this kid wearing that T-shirt opened up like a lemonade stand outside of Wrigleyville to try to raise money so he could get his hair done like that. Pete Crow Armstrong found out about it, went out there, walked up to the kid's lemonade stand.
Shaved his head for him.
And, no.
Oh.
He gave him the money.
Oh, well, that's cool.
So, isn't that just a downright heartwarming story for you? And, like, the look in those kids' face, they're like, oh. And then the one kid who's in charge, he steps right up and, like, puts his hand down. He's like, nice to meet you. And he looked like the alpha. I just thought it was a heartwarming story for everybody today. Now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, I got what feels like, when you hear it, a Looney Tunes scene that actually happened in real life. And I wouldn't know how to comprehend this if this happened to me. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But Kevin, actually glad you brought up that Pete Crow Armstrong story. I was, as one does, doom scrolling on TikTok last night because I couldn't sleep. And I came across that video. And shortly after, I think because I liked it, my algorithm quickly switched to pretty much all baseball stuff.
Yeah, it's wild how that happens.
And I actually got a really intriguing video that I was like, I need to find a way to cram this into the show today. It was Tarek Skubal during the All-Star break. They were getting him dressed up for the red carpet event. And so they had stylists there that were helping him because he's like, I'm not a fashion guy, so you're going to have to help me out. And whoever was styling him was like, okay, let's figure out some shoes. And he pointed out, he was like, I need two different sizes. And she was like, oh, okay, that's you know, somewhat common, especially with bigger dudes. Like, Scooble's a massive guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, like, massively different. And she was like, okay, what sizes do you need? One of his feet is a size 14. The other one is a size 12 and a half.
What?
Like, his feet are dramatically different. And he was like, I just always put up with it. He said he was always like that. And he was like, I just put up with it growing up because I didn't want to buy two pairs of each shoe. And he was like, I didn't start actually accommodating for that for myself until I got to the big leagues and I started making real money. So he's like, now I actually do get each shoe the correct size, but his feet are a size and a half different.
Dude, now I want to know, like, how common this is. That is interesting. I did not know that.
Like, I know that there's definitely a difference in pretty much everybody's, but I didn't know that it could be that different. That's incredible. So I just thought that was random and incredible at the same time, that one of the best, really, athletes out there right now with how dominant he is.
Yeah.
That's just like a minor inconvenience in his life is when he gets a new pair of spikes, he's got to go, okay, well, one of them needs to be a size and a half different. That's incredible to me.
At least he doesn't have to order two left shoes because of not being able to dance. Oh. Back to you, Alec.
Hey, Alec, I'm sorry about that, man.
I appreciate the insight, Corey.
Yep.
As always. Question of the daytime before I let you take over any further. We broke the news, sadly, yesterday that Ozzy Osbourne passed away. And just weeks after his final concert with Black Sabbath, got the crew back together for one last time. He was actually up there performing on stage, which was really, really cool to see. So he got to get that one bucket list item out of the way before he leaves us. And it got me thinking because I saw a lot of like sports entities tweeting about him because
sports.
A lot of his songs are great hype songs. They're great stadium anthems, and Crazy Train is the one that comes to mind first. So, got me thinking, what are your favorite stadium anthems of all time? 877-881-1053, because Crazy Train is up there for me. That's probably my one seed. At any point in the game, I feel like I could go to a Cowboys game where we're down by three scores and they play that on a third down and I'm still standing up and waving the towel. You know, like, I don't care what point of the game it is. If they play that song over the PA, the crowd is going to roar. Everybody's going to stand up on their feet. That's always been a top tier one for me. Here recently, because my guy C-Stats with the Rangers, I love that some wrestling themes are getting integrated into this
fun
as well. So it's pretty cool to see some of those things getting people up on their feet, you know, like a Roman Reigns entrance theme after a big strikeout or something. It's really cool to see that, you know, the fandom is transcending just that and it's going into, you know, other major sports. Really cool to see. But really, a lot of the like 80s, 90s rock music is just fantastic hype music for me.
Real quickly, about 60% of people have different size feet. So
really?
Yeah. I don't know about that drastic.
Maybe
about,
not discernibly different.
But it might be about 30 based on that. So Kevin, I tell you this. I told you this last night. I am kind of worn out. Oh, I was telling Carter this. I'm kind of worn out on Seven Nation Army being in every stadium now.
Ooh, okay.
But it seems like all the stadiums are trying to claim it. Like, oh, we do the better than anybody else. And I'm like, well, I mean, everybody does it. So don't. But it's a Jack White didn't even expect it to turn into what it turned into. You know, he's like, it's really flattering that that's happened. But I will say, Welcome to the Jungle always gets me rolling. Last night, the final countdown,
Yes.
And that's when I realized how much I really like that as an introductions for teams. But Welcome to the Jungle really gets, whenever things are low, you hit that one up, and I'm like, okay, we're back, baby. So, yeah, that's the one for me.
So, for me, it's the Isley Brothers, and it's Shout.
Now, you win. You can win.
You can pick up wherever you want. If you want to just start, like, hot right off the top. Yeah, and if you want to, and, like, for the 80s Mavericks fans, that is, like, the staple of Reunion Arena. So, for me, it's Shout.
Yeah, dude. And by the time, like, that, I actually, look at me, I got chills right now thinking about, I love that song, dude. Yes, that one is right there, man. You know what that one's really good at, too? And I know Wedding Crashers had something to do with it.
Yeah.
But when you're at a wedding, that song definitely gets the whole party rolling. So much so that I've been at multiple weddings where the speakers have gone out because everybody was jumping up and down so much because they were having so much fun with that song.
Also, do you think it's because they thought they were going to hook up after that because of the montage?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know
yeah.
the montage, Alec!
I do, but... just so direct to the point at 11:31 a.m. here on the Metroplex. It's even earlier out there. That is criminal for you. That is not allowed.
The only people out here are other media people and folks working with the Cowboys. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, if you say so.
Like yesterday when that kid walked by and I was like, I can't say that word because there's a child. And then she turned around and gave me a mean look. And I was like,
she did. She thought you were a piece of crap.
I know, and I was just trying to be nice and not say cuss words.
Oh, that is nice. That's great life advice there. Yeah.
It is nice.
Yeah, that's very nice. I'm reading this one from the 817 favorite stadium anthems just because I know if Reggie were to be listening, which he is not because he has his own show to do, this would irritate him. Remember the Name by Fort Minor is a great one.
Yeah.
And then Higher by Creed is another entry that they put for obvious reasons.
I really liked when the Rangers, and this is very local, but when they play I Like Texas by Pat Green.
Yeah.
But also when the Rangers would win games, they would play the old 97's Texas State of Mind. I'm living in a state of Texas, and Texas lives in me. I love that song. I love both of those. When it's something local like that, I really like whenever the stadiums connect the community like that. Instead of going with something that's just going to be everywhere, this is something you're only going to find right here.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to miss about the Coliseum in Oakland was it was like in between innings and during warm-up pitches and stuff, they played a lot of local music, a lot of West Coast music and hip-hop. And I always thought that was so cool, like leaning into the community. You know, they're in a very historic area for music. So they were playing a bunch of songs and like artists that you probably hadn't heard of if you're not from the area. So I got some good songs to add to my playlist from, you know, sitting in Master Control working those games. I'm like, huh, I kind of like this beat. I'm going to find out who sang that. And, you know, I do like when the community gets involved there. And this one's going to be for Hagee from the 817. Power by Kanye at Kyle Field.
Yeah, is that does that have to get changed or?
I mean, I always,
I don't know
like,
where people fall on that.
It's tough because like a song by somebody who's been followed by controversy will come on, you know, while I'm in the car, and I kind of have to just give it that look like
Michael Jackson.
You know,
that's true. They have a whole freaking Cirque du Soleil of Michael Jackson.
Exactly. So sometimes you just got to respect the music and not the artist.
Yeah, separate the art and the artist. I got you.
Exactly. Right. Because, you know, when I was talking about I was on the boat on Lake Louisville over the weekend,
I'm on
a Kanye song did come on. And I was just like, man, look, I'm not about him anymore, but I'm about the music that he made 10 years ago.
See, okay, and I've seen this one pop up a few times, and I agree, but I also associate this with every time my favorite hockey team has scored a goal. It's Pantera's Dallas Stars anthem, but I also, like, I cannot think of that song without thinking of, oh, hell yeah, we just scored a goal. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm automatically already hyped, too.
I feel like my brain has been totally rewired by hockey because if I hear anything by Pantera, I just think about Dallas Stars Green. And it's almost like a highlight reel just starts playing in my head. And I'm like, it's not even the song that they play in the arena.
Right,
and I'm still thinking about hockey. Maybe it's just because I miss hockey.
Stars.
That's probably what it is. I just miss hockey.
Stars.
I just miss hockey. But... somebody is going to be missing their car for a while, guys. I'm going to read this story from a local monster truck event in the state of Washington, not the District of Columbia.
Alex, super quick, because this was shocking news to me. Did you know Jess is like dying to go to a monster truck show?
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I had no idea, but I was like, we could make that happen.
That's something that I hadn't really thought of since I was like, you know, like 8, 9, 10 years old. But whenever I do see some clips pop up, I'm kind of like, huh, this is fun. Just giant machinery destroying stuff.
Yes.
You know, like that. Men are simple creatures. I see cars Agreed. Getting crushed and I'm like, ha, hell yeah. And in this case, a car that wasn't supposed to get crushed got crushed.
Oh, no.
So the Malicious Monster Truck Tour had a stop in Washington State, and they got a little more than they bargained for when a giant tire from one of the monster trucks flew off of one of the competitors' trucks and crushed a spectator's car.
Oh, no.
Oh,
man.
Luckily, nobody was hurt, but a spectator's Kia Spectra was no match for the several hundred-pound tire of a monster truck when it flew off of the track and bounced into the parking lot and absolutely obliterates this poor person's Kia. So these tires, according to Popular Mechanics, I didn't know this. Like, I know monster trucks are huge. I never thought about the tires themselves. A monster truck tire can weigh between 800 and 900 pounds. And that's not counting the giant wheel that it's mounted on.
So how much do y'all think it costs then?
A tire?
Just one tire.
12 grand.
Holy crap.
I'm just guessing. I will say this. Do you know how they got that tire off the car, though? They got a bunch of CrossFitters to come out, and they just flipped it over.
that would be the most masculine thing ever. They just get a bunch of meatheads to walk out there and just like flip the thing. It's like, three of them, yeah, no problem.
That would be amazing.
That reminds me of my friend who came out of his work one day and was like, where is my car? And then he found another car had jumped off the highway and landed directly on top of his car.
What?
And he was walking around looking for his car in the parking lot, and it just came off 635, and or maybe it was 35. It just landed right on top of his car. So much so that he couldn't find it. It didn't hit any other car. It just landed on his. It was awesome.
That feels targeted. I know it wasn't, but it feels targeted. That would be my mindset. I'm like, there's no way somebody could have coordinated this so perfectly, but dang it, it feels like it. That just feels like you were talking about with the whole stolen identity thing, Kevin. It's like, it's not personal at all, but it would feel personal.
Yeah,
if my car just got pancaked and no other car was damaged, I'd be like, why me? That's incredible. And that's how I would have felt at this monster truck event. So now, if I do go to a monster truck event, it's only going to be in a closed environment like AT&T Stadium. I am not going to an open air monster truck competition or whatever, because I am now deathly afraid of my beautiful blazer that I got from
gorgeous.
Justin Rudd, of course, getting destroyed by a 1,000-pound tire and wheel.
Dude, that's freaking crazy. But that's what we frequently say during AM on the FM. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Which elite wide receiver and quarterback combination is still work in progress? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Dart, well protected. There's the shot you were talking about. Grand to the end zone. Dropped right down the chimney by Dart.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Oxnard for Dallas Cowboys Training Camp, brought to you by the on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. Also want to shout out Greystone Roofing, Reliant AC. Man, we've had a blast out here already. And now, time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
Now, I want to ask you if you're intrigued by any of these camp battles. I'm going to tell you, some of them are kind of depressing. Are you intrigued by the fatal four-way between Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders? Because I'll have to admit, I am invested in that one.
So I was down on Dylan Gabriel. He was fine at OU. And then he went to Oregon, and he was like a Heisman, you know, candidate. He was really good. Flacco is always interesting because he's good enough. Somebody said that he's good enough to be a good backup, but too good to be a good backup. You know, so he's like right in between there. I am interested in that. I don't think Kenny Pickett is like really anywhere in that conversation.
Which is really interesting because for a while he was the betting favorite to take that job.
Until they drafted two. Yeah. You know, like that was the difference for me there. So, but yeah, I am actually invested in what you call the fatal four-way.
That's right.
And that's interesting.
Who
do you think, who do you hope comes out of that?
Shador.
Because you're really invested. I think you're like me. Because of the fall.
It went too far. It's kind of like one of those things like, maybe there's a scenario where like somebody has to pay the price for the consequences of their action, right? But then it becomes a time when it went too far. Like, really quick, when I was in college my junior year, I had three roommates. One of them was engaged to this girl who lived in the same apartment complex. She started cheating with one of our other roommates, which was shocking. And the guy who got cheated on was like, when he comes in the apartment, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other roommate's like, then I'm going to jump on him and we're all going to beat the S out of him. And I was like,
the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Yeah, I was like, that's too far. Like, you got to let my guy take care of his business there. And I totally agree with all of that. But I think all of us just beating the crap out of him, that felt too far. And so this is the same thing with Shador. Like, he goes in the top of the third round, whatever. Good for you.
Yeah.
But, like, he just fell too far. And so
and
now,
it was a pile on
yeah,
after that,
too.
Yeah,
I kind of root for him a little bit.
No, I see.
All right.
I'm with you, too.
Can you be brought to care about the Colts and Anthony Richardson versus Daniel Jones?
I don't understand it. Maybe Anthony Richardson still flashes the ability to throw a good deep ball.
Sure.
Daniel Jones does not.
Yep.
So I guess if you want to just rotate them and have one throw short passes and one throw long passes, that's the perfect combination. But I watch Daniel Jones enough to know that I don't have no faith that he's going to be a good quarterback.
Okay.
So I am interested in the respect of, I think Anthony Richardson, if given the right guidance, can. Because I think the athleticism and the arm is there. But I don't know. There's a difference whenever you talk to a guy, you get him prepared for something very similar to Josh Hamilton. You've said all the things to prepare him for the moment, and now he goes and steps on the field and he forgot everything you said and he just lets the instincts take over. And his instincts aren't quite ready yet.
Now, okay, so this isn't a positional question, but it's related since you were just talking about the deep ball. I was going to ask y'all in NFL Overreaction Reality if the Chiefs can get back to being an explosive offense. And so let me walk you through that just a little bit more. So Mahomes averaged 8.7 air yards per pass attempt in his first three seasons.
Okay.
So, like, you had prime Tyreek, Travis Kelce, and everything like that. And we talked about the idea of them becoming a more explosive offense. Well, today, or it might have been last night, Patrick Mahomes says, I have to be better at throwing the ball down the field. So my question is, do you believe that Patrick Mahomes, A, does need to get better at throwing the ball down the field, or B, is that totally necessary for a team that did still make it to the Super Bowl? I know they lost, but they still made it.
It's very interesting, because I wanted to kind of look at some numbers that would put me into his percentages, because you gave me good numbers on his air yards.
Yeah.
But, like, what is the percentage? His completion percentage was the same as it was. Like, it's as good as it has been last 5 years.
His explosive pass rate against single high defenses was 27th last year.
Okay.
So,
I know what I watched. His completion percentage was good. The short passes helped out a lot.
For sure.
And when I watched him last year, I was thinking to myself, this is a guy who knows he has another play in the chamber. Right? And let me kind of explain this a little bit more. When you know you have five attempts to do something, you're like, well, maybe I can risk it on three.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can risk it on two. He seemed to risk it on four a lot last year. And when I say that, I'm saying when you know you only have one attempt, you start looking at a dime instead of a dollar.
Yeah.
And so I feel like with Mahomes, he's just like, well, I know I'm going to go out there and sling it. And if I miss one, it's okay. And that is okay to have that mentality. But at some point, you got to hone in. And it felt like last year he got a little loose with some things, and maybe Andy Reid needed to have that talk with him. I think they can. It is going to rely on him a lot. The receivers and their abilities are a big factor, too. But I did see a quarterback that was a little loose last year with some of his approach to things.
And look, this has been developing for a couple of years. It's not a brand new thing. Like in 2022, 8.1 yards per pass attempt. We've talked about it. If you hit 8 and above, you're doing just fine, and you're probably doing a very good job of stretching.
He's just held to a different standard.
Yeah, no.
I hold him to a different standard.
He is. I will tell you this, though. So, like, the very next year, it went down to 7 yards per attempt, and I'm sure Tyreek Hill taking off doesn't help with that. And then last year, just 6.8 yards per attempt. That's the lowest of his career, and that's just not going to cut it for most quarterbacks.
Yeah, and granted, that defense helped out so much. For that's sure. why they got back to the Super Bowl.
For sure.
Him standing up, not having to scramble so much and throw off 1 foot, that's going to be a big factor too.
Now, I want to bounce back in to the training camp battles. If you couldn't find your way to be a Care Bear about the Colts, Tyler Shuck against Spencer Rattler for the Saints quarterback job.
What is the next topic, Kevin?
Okay, next. Now,
listen.
Russell Wilson against Jameis Winston against Jackson Dart, which, by the way, Dable came back out again and said that Wilson is the guy. But are you intrigued by the hierarchy at all, or do you think it's set? It's Russ, Jameson, Dart.
I am intrigued by that one. I hope Kellen Moore is able to get the most out of those quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I'll say that. Okay. With this New York situation, obviously, I still want to watch it explode.
Sure.
Because Cowboys.
Sure.
I think Jackson Dart has all the tools to be very good. And you played that highlight of him dropping one down the chimney. He has that ability.
He does.
Have you seen the guy throw to a friend on a jet ski yet? Mm-hmm. It's always fun to watch those things. You're like, yeah, he spends all day throwing a football. I hope he can do that. I don't think Jameis is truly the number two there. I think Jackson is. But you want to go with Russell Wilson experience, give him every opportunity because he's won a Super Bowl. He has made it to that point. He does have that credit to his name. But is he still that guy? And I think they're going to do everything they can to give him opportunities to put themselves in position to win. I think their defense is going to be very good. Their defense wasn't the problem last year. It was their offense. Can they get that thing off the ground? And I don't know that Russell Wilson still has the ability to do that anymore.
But I wanted to throw this out there real quick because I appreciate when people display this level of honesty. Tua said that his relationship with Tyreek is still a work in progress, although
that is honest.
It is. But he said, like, I think there's a lot more vulnerability with Tyreek. He's conversating with a lot more guys, not just about football, but about things off the field. And so, like, I know that's going to be the headline that gets a lot of attention. But if you go into the answer, which is what we always ask to do and what players ask us to do, which I think is pretty much the least you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the least is nothing, but you get the idea. And so him saying, like, hey, we've still got work to do, but he's progressed a lot in terms of talking to more people, talking about more things. And that feels like a step in the right direction, even though I know the headline by its nature kind of makes it sound like, uh-oh. Mike McDaniel is in even further trouble, you know?
Yeah, coming up here at noon, I think Milton might have a conversation about that particular. And, Kevin, we see it all the time in offices. You got a guy that walks in, wants to get his work done, wants to go home and be with his family.
Yeah.
And sometimes, for morale, got to do a little extra.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, he will sit down on the Wild Fork Foods hot seat. WildForkFoods.com, Elite Game Day Grilling Favorites. We'll talk with Joe Milton. And there's a question that Corey asked.
Oh, no, I don't know if we should do this.
That is so shocking.
No.
That it had to be cut from the interview. But what Corey doesn't know is we still have the audio.
The Tolos don't want us to play that.
Oh, you go ahead and vote, yes or no. Do you want to hear Corey's shocking question? We'll do the Joe Milton interview next right here in The Fan.